Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. This is my 52nd podcast. That means I've been doing it for an entire year, and there are lots and lots of them to look for. Many of them are on my website, moneysmartsforyou.com. A lot of them are on Blog Talk Radio at /moneysmartsforyou. So if you've missed something, take a look and see if there's something that applies to you. After years of working with clients, I wrote the book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics, because I wanted teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This book is a daily reading book. Most of the readings are a page, page and a half. It's designed for you to be able to manage concepts about money management in a fairly easy and painless fashion. So take a look at it. It's available on Amazon, and I hope that it helps you. I just returned from a trip to Canada to visit one of my daughters who's studying at university there, and it occurred to me that I hadn't done a show yet on traveling abroad. So even travel to Canada requires a certain preparation to make sure you have an effortless and safe and easy trip that lets you make the most of the time that you're out of the United States. Trips further abroad to Europe, Asia, et cetera, require a little bit more work in the planning stages, but I think most of what I have to tell you today really applies across the board. Today I'm going to go over 7 things you need to know and do before you leave on a trip abroad. Number 1, passport control. Wherever you're going, the minute you buy your airline ticket, the one question you'll be asked is, what is your passport number, who issued it, and when does your passport expire? There are many countries that will not allow you to travel within their country if your passport has less than 6 months remaining before it expires. So check your passport each year. I like to do it on my birthday or at the beginning of the new year. And when it gets to about 7 or 8 months prior to expiration, you need to get it renewed. When you're checking in for your flight, you'll be required to provide your passport along with your boarding pass, which you probably either put on your phone or you print it up with all the snafus that airlines are having with their computer systems. Right now, I'm defaulting on printing whenever I can. Many hotels have kiosks in their lobbies where you can just go directly to airline websites and sign in and print up your boarding pass. Okay. One of the reasons you have to have your passport, of course, and your boarding pass together is so that the airline can verify you have the travel documents you need to re-enter the country, not just go to the country that you're going to, but also come back. If you're going to a country to study or to work, you will need a visa from that country that will allow you to stay there for the length of time necessary to complete your studies or your work. Check out the website online for the Customs and Immigration Department for that country, pardon me, to find out how to obtain the visa that you need. Many countries have a different legal system than the United States, and your violation of their immigration policies could result in harsh penalties. So check the rules and follow them. On entry to a country other than the United States, you will go through their immigration. This may involve multiple steps, including a passport scanning machine and accompanying computer-administered questionnaire about your reason for travel. In addition, you may then be questioned by an immigration or customs official about who you are, where you live, what you're bringing with you, and why you're in the country. Depending on how long your flight was or how delayed it was, you may find that waiting in long lines to answer a few simple questions may be irritating to you. I always have a little snack bag in my carry-on that has like granola bars and nuts and chewing gum and a few things like that, simply because we never know how long we're going to sit on the tarmac on a flight, or you don't know how long the line's going to be in immigration, or you don't know you know, what's going to be happening. And it might be hard to get food to eat, and that may be causing your blood sugar to be low, and that may be what's making you cranky. Make sure that you remain calm and polite when you're dealing with any officials of foreign government. While you're waiting in line, which are usually long ones, from 5 minutes to an hour, take deep breaths, stretch, and remember to smile. Usually smiling can put you in a better mood. Remember, there are cameras everywhere, everywhere. Most immigration departments do not allow you to use your cell phone when you're waiting in line, so if you must call or text or email to let someone know you're safely on the ground, do so as you're walking from the airplane to the immigration location, since once you're in the immigration area, you will not be allowed to use your phone. Pay attention to the signs directing you from your plane to immigration and customs. Once you get into the immigration area, again, pay attention to the signs and listen to the immigration officers. One line may be for U.S. citizens only or for citizens of the country you are entering, with all the others in yet another line. If you're part of the Nexus or Global Entry Program, there may be another line for you to pass through. Do your best to be alert and to be polite. If you want to know more about Nexus or the Global Entry Program, you can go to our government's Customs and Immigration website, which is www.cpaul.gov, and you can look under travel and then look for Global Entry or Nexus, depending on what you're interested in. Consider Nexus or Global Entry Card membership if you travel frequently. To obtain these cards, you must complete a preliminary application and set up a face-to-face interview. The information about these programs are available online. I just gave you the website. These are a pre-screening program with no guarantees that it will shorten your time in immigration. The line at the airport in Canada for Nexus was as long as the regular line for immigration when we arrived there. Make sure you protect your passport by keeping it safe in a protective pouch designed to keep others from being able to read your passport with RFID technology while you're carrying it around. These pouches can be purchased online or at any travel store, one that you can keep close to your person under your shirt so it cannot be grabbed or stolen from you by gypsies, wherever you might be, is best. Before you leave the country, make a copy of your passports and the credit cards you will take with you and leave them in a safe place with someone who you trust in case your items are stolen and you need to report the theft and have your passport reissued or cards replaced. 2, health issues. Our health department frequently issues health alerts about circumstances around the world. Before you leave on your trip, check to make sure there is not some serious health epidemic occurring where you are going. This could affect your ability not only to get into the country, but to come back from the country. If so, you may wish to postpone or cancel your trip or take special precautions. Traveling to certain parts of the world may require you have vaccinations or booster shots for diseases that are prevalent in that area, such as cholera, typhoid, and others. Contact the infectious disease specialists in your community or at your local medical school to find out what you need to know before you travel. If you're traveling during flu season, it is best to get your flu shot as soon as you can, since it takes 2 weeks for it to be effective. Some people I know wear surgical masks wherever they travel to limit their exposure to the germs recirculating in airplanes and airports. Remember to wash your hands frequently, use hand sanitizer before you eat or touch your face. Also try to keep from touching your face and carry plenty of tissues with you. You may also want to carry some basic over-the-counter medications such as antihistamines, decongestants, headache and body ache medications, antidiarrheal medication, fiber supplements, and maybe even probiotic pills in case you find yourself feeling under the weather and you need a little help from familiar medication that you know what it does. You can buy a lot of these things abroad, but they have different names and they may not be compounded exactly the same way as that which you're familiar with here in the United States. Carry your prescription drugs in their labeled bottles so they can be easily identified by authorities. And also, if you take any over-the-counter medications with you, keep them in the original packaging. Don't pop all the the pills out of the blister packs and put them in a bottle that's unlabeled. Make sure you just leave them as you originally purchased them. A travel medical policy might be a wise investment to cover your expenses if you become ill or in an accident. Many major credit cards offer these for very reasonable prices on an annual basis and could certainly come in handy if you do find yourself quite ill or if you are in an accident. There's an even more elaborate policy that you can purchase that involves being able to be life-flighted from wherever you are. If you're going to an exotic part of the world, you may wish to look into that, or if you're a mountain climber or something of that sort, again, you may want to look into that. Three, financial considerations. Before you leave the country, you will want to research the currency and the exchange rate for the places you'll be visiting. You may want to find out what it costs to get from the airport to your hotel via car, taxi, or mass transit, and have sufficient funds in the currency of the country that is your first destination in hand before you leave the U.S. Also, if you're going to be taking trains from one part of, say, Europe to another, make sure you have a few, whatever that is, if it's not euros, with you in case you need it when you get to your destination and need transportation to your hotel. Many forms of transportation will accept credit and debit cards, but one thing I found that was very interesting on more than one occasion during this trip to Canada was that many taxis only took cash and buses were cash-based transactions as well. Relying on credit cards alone can put you in a position where you're stranded if computer systems break down or are hacked. Many credit cards give you a good exchange rate as well as provide you a record of your transactions. Make sure, however, that you keep a copy of the receipt of each meal or purchase you make so you can match it against your statement when the statement comes in. Another thing that you want to make sure of is that you can pay the bill in full when you get back so that you don't end up getting a great exchange rate and yet end up paying lots of interest on that meal you had 3 weeks ago. With the many currencies down against the dollar, it is a good time to travel in Europe as well as Canada. However, many restaurants and hotels are raising their prices in order to make up for the diminished local business they're experiencing due to the currency exchange differences and their own economic problems. Your trip may cost the same as vacationing at home, but you will have the chance to experience different cultures and locations. Take only the credit cards you will be using with you on this trip. Leave everything else at home. Protect your cards from RFDs by placing them in a liner that will protect them from hacking. These can be purchased online or locally at a travel store or some other sundry store. Four, research your destination. Take your time to research the cities and surrounding countryside where you will be visiting. Learn about the museums, art events, important architectural features, and cultural events happening about the time that you're visiting while you're abroad. If there are special attractions in the near countryside, then consider taking a train, or if you prefer a tour, that will give you a chance to fully experience all that these foreign countries have to offer. If you decide you're going to want to rent a car, check and see if you need to have an international driver's license in order to do that, and if the car rental includes insurance and what kind. You can visit online sites, buy apps, or even purchase guidebooks for the specific locations you're visiting. Remember, many of the map apps can provide you information about restaurants and attractions near where you're staying or where you are at the moment. If you've had friends travel to a certain destination, ask them what their top three things are that they like to do when they're visiting that location. You might learn more about your friends and have a chance for a unique experience when you're traveling. Five, communicating securely while you travel. I've already mentioned protecting your passport and credit cards from RFID scans by hackers by using blocking sleeves to store these documents and cards in. In Toronto, all of the stores and restaurants bring the credit card terminal to you. You're expected to have a chipped card, although the traditional magnetic strip reader is available too. The chipped card is used throughout Canada and in Europe too. With these portable terminals, you don't have to worry about your card being out of your sight like you do here in the States. In addition to protecting your credit cards and identity documents, you also want to protect your mobile devices. Turn off the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth, as well as the cellular data and data roaming on your cellular phone, tablets, and laptops. Both the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth are like open doors to your personal data on your electronic devices. So don't leave these on unless you're using a trusted network or transferring information to a trusted recipient. As for cellular data and data roaming, these two culprits will run up your cell bill if you have not purchased a data plan before your trip. Most texting can be transmitted via Wi-Fi, as well as many telephone calls as well. So plan your calls for when you're using a trusted Wi-Fi network to save money while you're traveling and to keep your data and identity secure. You may also want to review what apps you're permitting to use your cellular data before you take off to your travel destination. Travel is supposed to be about some place where you have new and different experiences, not about spending all your time on your phone or electronic devices. So compartmentalize your time so you can enjoy the place you are and still keep in touch with friends. Remember, there are time differences that may help you limit your communication to email so they can be read at any time. And you can be free to have a good time and not have to take a bunch of annoying phone calls. 6, behavior abroad. Recent incidents of bad behavior have made the news, involving brawling on the part of passengers over everything from seat assignments to space in the overhead bins to the distance between the seats on an airplane. Everyone is stressed out when they get on the plane, and it's not just the passengers. Think of the flight attendants who have to deal with these narcissistic egotists on every flight they're working. If you can see it in your heart to think of these hardworking individuals who are responsible for 60 to 90 people per flight attendant on board the flight, you'll be on your best behavior. If everyone was polite and pleasant in the face of crying babies, delays on the tarmac, and emergency landings, it would be a better world of travel. What you can do, even though you may have been on hundreds of flights and could give the safety instructions yourself in your sleep, take the few minutes to pay attention to the flight attendant and read the emergency card in the seat pocket in front of you. Fasten your seatbelt, put up your tray table, and turn off your electronics without being asked. All of these requirements are for your safety. Act like it matters. In the event of an emergency, you won't have the time to learn what to do. You will just have to do it and follow the instructions that the flight attendants give you. Be a good ambassador representing the United States during your travels. Take the time to learn some basic phrases and the languages of the countries you will be visiting. Words and phrases like hello, goodbye, good morning, good evening, please, thank you, do you know where I can find such and such. How much is this? If you don't have a good memory for new words, consider a language app or a phrase book so that you can at least act like you're trying to make an effort to accept and acknowledge a different culture. Remember to smile, even if you're frustrated with any communication difficulties. On a trip to France, my husband and I were on. I was speaking French at a travel agency, having a rough time being understood, and wish the staff there spoke Spanish, a language in which I'm fluent. In my frustration, I laughed as I told the woman in French that I wish that they spoke Spanish because it would be easier for me. The woman helping me asked me to wait a moment, and voila, there appeared an agent who spoke Spanish, and we quickly made the arrangements I needed for hotel and air reservations. Making the effort and keeping a positive attitude can do wonders for you when you're traveling in other countries. 7. Returning home. You will be expected to make a customs declaration upon returning to the United States. Again, you can go to the website www.cpb.gov and it will show you not only what the declaration form looks like, but there it will list all the questions that they're going to ask you, like where you've traveled, have you been on a farm, have you been touching livestock, are you bringing more than $10,000 in currency or monetary instruments back to the United States? This is the official U.S. Customs and Border Protection website. Do not be fooled by those that are commercial websites. You want to go to the real deal because those are the rules you're going to have to be complying with. One thing that's very interesting is that our government is making an effort to do pre-clearance at over 15 locations around the world, which means you basically go through U.S. Customs in the foreign country. So what happens, for example, in Canada, or at least where we were, is you go through Canadian Customs, and then you go through U.S. Customs. And basically, they're trying to expand this program. You can take a look on their website to see where pre-clearing takes place so you'll be aware of it. Also, while you're there, review the rules of what you can bring back into this country and the limits of the dollar values of permitted items. This information is available online, as I mentioned, this website. You can still bring more expensive items back with you, but expect to pay custom duties on those items. Don't forget to declare these items. If you used a credit card for a large purchase, like a watch or a camera, the authorities already know about it. Not declaring it will get you into trouble, and you will be delayed as they comb through all your possessions. Know also that customs officers learn about the value of many items from other travelers. So don't lie about the cost of a piece of jewelry or a piece of art, because they're very familiar with the market for all kinds of things. Passport scanners and computer-based questionnaires are taking the place of paper declarations. So be prepared for working with these machines. Read the questions carefully and wait for each step along the way. If you're traveling with another person in your same household, your passports will be processed together and your picture taken. Once you've completed your electronic declaration, a receipt will be printed that includes your photo, so your identity is verified and compared with your passport information on file. You will be questioned by customs officials about basic information about yourself. Another thing I want to remind you of is on the same website, there's information about traveling with pets, as well as information about traveling with prescription medication, oxygen tanks, and things like that. So it could be a great resource if you plan to do those things. Wherever you're going, remember you're subject to the laws of another country. Be as polite as you can and be accepting of a new culture and learn about all you can about the place that you're visiting. Since this is my 52nd show, I want to thank Leslie Comet of Comet Communications, Jennifer Navarrete, and Tracy Lowe. All the three of these wonderful women helped me get started on doing a podcast or online radio show. And they've been an inspiration to me. They've also been great friends, given me lots of great information and really good training. So I really, really want to thank them. I also want to thank Mike and Diane Connor, as well as Amazon and CreateSpace, and most of all, the love of my life, Toby O'Connor. Thank you all for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's B-A-R-B-I-E at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's number 4U.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.